our farm growing up, we had miles of electric fence with all the cattle. And there was this game that the kids would play. And you'd make a line, and someone would grab the electric fence. And it was only the person at the end of the line who got the shock. For some reason, that was always the youngest of the kids. So I don't know how much of a game it was. But you got a nice jolt of electricity to wake you up a little bit. This first reading about Abraham and Isaac, what an awful story. What a shocking story it's meant to be, and it is. I mean, just on the face value, if this is the first time you ever heard it, think about the first time that someone hears that. It's just an awful story that you hear. What is God up to in the midst of it? It's impossible to hear this biblical account and to pass by it with indifference. It's meant to shock you, to jolt you a bit. One of the great American authors of the 20th century was Flannery O'Connor. If you've never heard of her, she has wonderful writing. But her writing, she said that when someone is deaf, you have to shout a bit. Like my old man, who spent hours and hours on tractors, now he's a bit deaf. And so I kind of have to shout when I'm talking to him. But she had said, when a people are deaf, you have to shout at them a bit. You have to do something to jolt, to shock, to wake them up. And when his people are spiritually deaf, they need to be jolted a little bit. Out of an indifference, out of a complacency. And that's what all of her stories do. They leave you shook up a bit. I don't know if any of you are movie fans. They're kind of like Coen Brothers films. You watch them and they're like, oh my, what was that? It's meant to shake you up a little bit, leave you unsettled, anything but complacent. And so when you hear an account, a story such as this with Abraham and Isaac and the sacrifice, the almost sacrifice, to ask the question, why? Why was that necessary? God, what are you up to here? Why? Because if a person is not asking that question, if that question doesn't take and sort of wring their heart a bit, the answer is meaningless. If someone doesn't care about the question, the answer itself doesn't have any meaning. But to have that question, why, kind of wring the heart. God called Abraham and Sarah, and he called them to leave everything. The land that they knew, the people that they knew, leave everything behind and trust in him entirely. Place all of it on him. It's why Abraham is known as the father of our faith, the father of faith itself. Leave everything behind, and God made them three promises. That they would receive a land of their own, the promised land. That they would have a son, and they would have descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore. That's what would be all of us, his descendants in faith. And that they would be a blessing for the entire world as the Jewish people and now the whole church continues to be the vessel through which God brings his blessing into the world. But you know what the incredible thing about so many biblical figures is? They're so much like us. They're just like you and me. Abraham, the father of faith, is no different. Because he chose to follow God. He chose to believe in the promises that God gave. And he followed him. But yet he still struggled. And he still failed. Even as he was trying to follow God. Even after he had decided to stake his whole life on this. He trusted. But but he was always at first holding back a bit. He's like, God, I'll trust you with pretty much everything. God's like, well, what about that? Well, just in case. I know you're a God who can be trusted, but just in case. He was a man as well who became impatient with God. That he wanted things on his own timeline. Does this sound familiar? That we trust in God, but for some reason we get swept back into wanting it on our own timeline. And this was the big thing with Abraham, that for decades and decades they waited for the fulfillment of the promise that they would have a child. For decades they waited. And finally, his wife gave him the maidservant, Hagar, to have a child with her, and they did, Ishmael. But of course, this was not the child of the promise. Abraham, again and again, he failed, he fell down, but he continually, again and again, turned back to God. He turned back to him. And finally, in their old age, Sarah conceived the child, Isaac. And when she was told that she was going to conceive now, you know what she did? She laughed. If you're 90 years old and someone tells you you're going to have a child, what's going to be your response? You're going to laugh. The name Isaac means laughed, because it seems so outrageous now. And so they have this child. And now the scene that we see today is where total faith, not here, I'm going to trust you entirely, but not this. It's this act of total faith, total trust in God. That Abraham's being asked to place this entirely into God's hands. And scenes like this are meant to be shocking. When we encounter them in Scripture, they're meant to shock us. The first one was Adam. When Eve was being tempted, that was his moment to stand between his wife and the devil, even if it meant that his own life was going to be taken. But he didn't. He failed there. Scenes like this of total faith, where Mary, knowing that her life was going to be threatened and probably taken if she said yes to God and conceived the child, that act of total faith is meant to be shocking to us if we see the ramifications of it. All throughout Scripture, and here is this scene of total faith. And to hear, as you know, it's going through Abraham's heart, every step he takes toward that mountain, God, why? As it took and it wrangled his heart. But with every step that he took, it's a step of faith. And what Abraham was being invited into here was to enter into the fatherly heart of God himself. As any parent knows, the love that you have for your child is something fierce. And this is what Abraham is being invited into. And so Isaac, he's this child of a miraculous conception, a couple in their 90s. Isaac, who is not a 7-year-old child, he's not a little kid. Isaac is a man at this point, in his mid-30s, like me. Maybe not as strong as me, but he's in his mid-30s. He's carrying the instrument for the sacrifice, the wood, on his back up Mount Moriah, which centuries later was called Mount Calvary. And here he is, a man in his 30s, who is laying down his life to be sacrificed by his father. This story sounds familiar, doesn't it? But here, God held back the hand of Abraham. But with the cross, God didn't even hold back of his own son. that all of it leads to the cross. It always leads to the cross. That this is the why in everything in Scripture. This is the why in your life as well. What is God up to, everyone, in your life right now? What is God doing in your life? What's He up to? Because He's very active. You may be right now in your life in a mountaintop place where you're filled with all sorts of consolation, where you're experiencing the glory of God and you're filled with incredible life. Or you might be where Peter didn't want to go back down into the dark valley, into a place of doubt, a place of struggle. What is God doing right now in your life? Whatever it is, what He's doing is pointing to the cross. It's pointing to the cross in your life. And what He's doing is He's carving out within your heart a place of deeper faith, of deeper trust. He's drawing you deeper into the heart of His Father. And that with each step that you take on that path, He's giving you grace. With each step, He's drawing you to the cross so that your heart might not be indifferent. The cross becomes so commonplace. It's no longer shocking when we see it. But of course, when we look at that, when you look at that, that here's the Father who offered His own Son, it's meant to shock us, to awaken us, to arise within us either love or hate. But anything but indifference, anything but indifference. But it's the cross that we're led to because it's a place not of death, but that right there is a place of life, it's a place of love, and it's where we're being called to with whatever He's doing right now in your life.